Hi all. If you don't know, my name is Anissa Johnson. I started this podcast in April of 2020, doing shadow work over the course of the pandemic. And lately it's taken a direction of getting my truth out in the story of how I've been abused by my father for 10 years. This podcast will be very raw and very real and could possibly be very triggering. I suggest that you listen to it with your own discretion. This podcast will discuss narcissistic abuse and empathy, the relationship between a narcissist and an empath. And this podcast will discuss addiction heavily. Please, please proceed with your own caution. Hello, and welcome back to Conversations with Myself. My name is Anissa Johnson. This podcast is exploring my experience with narcissistic abuse by the hands of my father, as well as physical and emotional abuse. I stopped being physically disciplined at the age of 10. Unless I stepped way out of my place, and we both knew I knew better. My mother did not hit me. I'm from a different culture around parenting. By the time I was living with my dad, I was also 18 years old. This is December 2012 to October of 2013. This is the next part of our story. I'm from a biracial background. My dad is black, my mother's white, and I have an eclectic array of interests. And I used social media to fill the gaps in my social life quite a bit. And a lot of this was done anonymously. I used a photo of a certain celebrity that I liked and started creating this world that I could exist in and date and have these real life experiences that were kind of inaccessible to me with the way my high school experience was. No one ever judged me for it. It was this kind of my worst kept secret in our household. I also liked playing with my appearance a lot. I would dye my hair, I'd flat iron it, I liked rock music. I was just all over the board. I was just Anissa. That was who my family knew Anissa to be. My dad and his girlfriend judged me for it. Didn't like the fact that I picked a white pop star to represent. Constantly poked fun at my biracial identity, despite the fact that I didn't choose my mother, you did. Assumed that I hated myself because I liked rock music and flat ironing my hair and did not immediately adapt to the inner workings of a quote-unquote black household. So the situation is now, you left me. You contacted me. You set up a dynamic between us of inappropriate boundaries, and I'm coming to live with you. And already you've set up a culture around bullying me for a decision you've made. Again, I didn't choose my mother. I didn't choose for us to move out of the neighborhood we were living in and into a suburban neighborhood with my grandparents. I didn't choose to separate our family and segregate myself from the culture. You did that. And now you need to adapt. Living here is not normal. These household politics are not normal. One day I'm in a child's place. The next day your girlfriend's coming to me about your relationship and calling me a heifer when I get an attitude. And then the whole house is arguing. No one's talking to each other, and it's incredibly uncomfortable. Or you're freaking out about finances and asking me on my fixed income while you're managing properties and working at a restaurant to contribute to the rent and the bills. Not always, but definitely did to the point that he felt it necessary to have me sign the lease as an occupant. And I know that I've filed a report. I know that I've contacted my medical team. And I know that, you know, the hotline has been called. But I do hope he's listening to this. I do hope this finds its way to him somehow. And if you do listen to this, Dad, buckle up, because you're about to take a really good, hard look in the mirror the way that I had to in order to step away from you. See, you thought I lost my mind. You thought I went completely crazy and needed to be committed. What I did was wake up to who you are. But I digress. Anyway, he felt it necessary to have me sign the lease as an occupant. He's since told me that it didn't happen, but all three of our names were on that lease. Kendrick and his girlfriend as the lessees, and myself as an occupant. Once I got health insurance and we figured out where to go, I got approved for a personal care attendant. My father takes on this role, and now I'm his daughter and his client. Now his treatment of me is state business. This is where we run into a problem with his culture around discipline. We're having a lot of fights and a lot of arguments surrounding my physical health. See, what I never signed up for was another authoritarian figure in my life. I don't know you. I am in an environment where I'm unfamiliar. And you want to be authoritative over an 18-year-old. You want her to be 18 when it comes to the running of the household. But you don't want her to be 18 when it comes to making her own decisions and choosing what does and does not happen with her body. My dad wanted me to do physical therapy. I initially sign up for it. We max out the appointments that I'm allowed to have at the local hospital. And he decides to take over himself. On the surface, this sounds like a great idea. But my dad is a very militant kind of guy. And once he sets his mind on doing something, it's his way or the highway. And he doesn't necessarily come to the conclusion that my mind works like yours. My body doesn't. I have all of the same muscle groups, but they don't work the same way because they weren't developed the same way. You have to take very great care about what you're doing. I can handle you moving very quickly. I can handle adding weight training to the mix early on. But it's not a great idea because my body is not like yours. So I'm in a lot of pain and I am tired and I don't want to do this. And I never agreed to do this. This was presented to me as if it was contingent upon my living under this roof. So one day we get into an argument and I refuse. I'm not doing it. I'm not putting my body through that pain. You're not doing this correctly. It hurts. It's supposed to irritate me. It is not supposed to be painful. I am well past the point in my development where physical therapy is painful. So we're going and I stop. And we get into an argument. And this is the first time of many times where this man looks me in the eye, walks out the door, calls me later to continue the argument, and then says, well, I guess I'm gonna go drink. I guess I'm gonna go get high. Because he's not getting his way. And therefore, he sets up a pattern of whenever I disagree with him, whenever I assert my rights as a human person, I guess I'm going to go get high. I guess I'm going to go have a drink then. I'll just go to the restaurant I work at and order a drink. So the culture around our relationship has gotten even further unhealthy. And while I have been a contributing factor to it via my attitude and the way I'm responding to him, I am not to blame. So the addiction guilt starts. And this is where he sits me down and he explains to me that because he's only 6 months sober, and because he's lived in a specific culture for so long, what I was talking about earlier, that the culture around his parenting is not normal, holds true for him. The culture around living in normal society as a functioning member of society is not normal. Okay, you're only 6 months sober. I can understand that. All right, but you can't do that. Okay, I won't do that again. This lasts about a day. And it goes on like this for months. So we come around to June. Because I did not initially enroll back in school when I moved in with my father. I enrolled in school that summer. Around June of 2013, I filled out my federal student aid and I started classes. I held on to my return. In addition to this, I had a refund given to me by the university I previously attended. 2 months later, in August, on August 24th of 2013, to be exact, I remember the day. My father asked me to invest. That is the word he used exactly. Invest. Exactly $900 into the purchase of a house for his business, Johnson Property Management and Investment LLC. Not that address. 8729. One of the first purchases he makes. I am on the plaza getting ready to take a date for myself. He asks. He promises a return on that money. That day, I give him my bank card. He walks over to the Bank of America on the Country Club Plaza, withdraws $900 from my savings account, and purchases his home. I have yet to see a return on that money. So now I am financially intertwined with you and your dreams. He's gonna say that he was supporting me financially at the time, and that's how he paid me back. Through the food that he bought for the house, clothes that he bought for me, money that he spent to get my nails done or my hair done, or whatever he did for me at the time. And that is not at all what we agreed to. He'll say I didn't get it in writing, but I have proof of the transaction. I have the bank statement. This is the first time my father will take advantage of my trust in that manner. The next time will be the next month in September when he asks me to take out a Home Depot credit card on my credit. He explains that this will help me build my credit. I will not be responsible for making payments. It's a business investment. So again, I am financially intertwined with you and your dreams. He's going to pay the bill. He never does. He's knowingly entered into an agreement with me that affects me financially. I do not have the means to pay off this Home Depot card, living on supplemental Social Security income, and he does not hold up his end of a verbal contract. Meanwhile, he's also entered into a contract with the state to be responsible for my care.
So while all this is going on, I'm stressed. I'm in school, probably in a little bit of traumatic shock. And I don't know these people. I don't know these people at all. His business takes precedent in his mind, so he leaves his girlfriend, who is not on my case at this time. I believe we do have her added later on. But he leaves his girlfriend in charge of my physical well-being. Not necessarily an issue until you account for the fact that my physical care requires dealing with picking me up, dealing with waste and bodily fluids, and his girlfriend is very ill, in and out of the hospital. Nobody knows what's going on. Ill. Caring for me is not safe for her. It's already a selfish ask. So now we've set up the dynamic that you're neglecting me because she can't perform those duties, taking advantage of me financially and physically abusing me as a form of discipline while asking me to be an adult inside our house and out of it. You're asking me to be competent enough to sign a legally binding document and bill my insurance while you do this. I'm an adult here. And in the course of a few months, I've moved away from the only family I know. I've lost a family member. My uncle succumbed to cancer. And my grandmother's health has gotten far worse. So I'm going through quite a bit. One day, he decides we need to have a quote-unquote grown-up conversation. I forget the gist of it. It was surrounding either school or physical therapy. It gets heated. I'm crying again, feeling deeply disrespected because this man has just purposely verbally eviscerated me. Because he thinks it's okay because he's my dad. And I'm just like, that means absolutely nothing. The thing is, my grandpa was always around. He was my dad too. And I don't behave this way with my parents when I'm in a safe and stable mindset. I respect my parents. And unless I step out of line, my parents respect me, even when disciplining me. There may have been a few times where my mom took the wrong method to discipline me, but she was always right too. I was in a child's place at the time. Right here, I should not be. So I understand the weight of the word father. I understand the weight of the word parent. You are my birth father. No, you cannot throw that title around as an excuse to disrespect a fully grown adult simply because it's not convenient for you for me to exercise my rights as an adult. If I'm doing something wrong, I am competent enough to suffer the consequences for it. You should not be hitting me because my grades are not up to par. The college has consequences for that. I was not making a conscious decision to let my grades slip, by the way. I was in shock. And he responded to my shock and the consistent triggering of my abandonment trauma by traumatizing me further. So one day I decided I've had enough. I'm tired. I want to go home. I can play the game, but I have no idea what game we're playing and I can't talk to you. He says, "You need me. You'll never make it. You're too weak." I have my phone in my hand. I don't initially have plans to leave the city right away. I'm enrolled in school. I have a life here. I want to move out of this apartment. We're yelling, and to prove a point that I would never survive being mugged, he grabs my phone, wrestles it out of my hand, and I hit the floor. He's pulled me out of my wheelchair. I hear my shins and elbows crack. Nothing is broken. They just kind of absorb the shock of it. He's staring down at me from the bed. From my bed. Look at you. You're pathetic. You think you can live on your own? You wouldn't last a day. He tells me that I'm so disrespectful that he was getting ready to take me and my wheelchair and pin me between the dresser and the wall. He tells me that no one wants me, that the reason I'm living here is because my grandparents got tired of me, my mom got tired of me, nobody wants me. He tells me that my family told him that I would act this way. He called my mom, and my mom was like, "Yep. That's Nessa." But my family was raising a child. They weren't getting paid to provide me a safe environment where my needs were met and I could adequately and successfully advocate for myself. He hits me with a belt And then he calls my mom. I tell my mom I want to go home. He's informed her that I'm acting out. He has not informed her that he has entered into a contract with the state that puts us on equal footing, and the social rules of parental respect may still apply, but he cannot treat me the way that he has been treating me. I have rights as a patient. She tells me I can't come home. Home doesn't exist anymore, not the home that you know, is what she says verbatim. I call a friend afterwards and start making plans to move. It is here when he decides to demand every penny he spent financially supporting me. As again, I wasn't always asked to contribute to the household. He knows that on SSI, I would never be able to afford that. And thereby, he is holding me hostage financially so that I cannot leave and he can remain listed as my primary caregiver and collect the check. That night, in June of 2013, when he went to work at his restaurant job, I went outside on the balcony and smoked a cigarette. And then I went into my bedroom and swallowed half a bottle of muscle relaxers. During my hospital stay, none of that information was disclosed. I wasn't removed from the household, but instead placed on a 48-hour that it got extended to a 4-day psych hold and returned to his care.
So I spend about 4 days in the hospital, and this is where I'm going to pause the story, because it gets far worse from here. It is a very long story. It is a very painful story. I'm going to go ahead and try to take this as slowly as I possibly can, but I want this story out. I've done my best for the last 10 years to keep my business out of the street, and all it has done is make me sick and miserable. I'm gonna take this time to tell my truth. I'm gonna do it very slowly. If you are choosing to listen, I suggest that you take breaks. Suggest that you realign yourself. Meditate. Make sure that you are in a safe place to listen to this truth. Because I've had to make sure that I am in a safe place to tell it. This is very painful for me. I do appreciate you taking the time to share this space with me. And I will see you again on the next upload. Thank you so much.